I would like to start by sharing a story I read. It was the usual schedule, up by 4:30 a.m., out the door by 5, to take my son to ice hockey practice, and we picked up another hockey mate on the way, dash home, get ready for work, and head out the door again. On this one particular morning, though, I realized I had not done the grocery shopping. So I drove the boys to hockey practice. I realized that I was close to the grocery store that was open 24 hours a day. So I made a mental note of the shopping list in my head and went straight to the grocery store after dropping them off at the ice rink. There were only a few shoppers in the store, but the aisles were full of staff stocking the shelves for the rush of grocery shopping that day. I zipped along. The last aisle was the frozen section. As I stood in front of the glass door contemplating the frozen vegetables, I noticed my reflection in the frame of the freezer door. There I was, standing still in my pajamas. I had to laugh out loud at myself. As I drove home with my groceries, I realized that in my hurry, in this hurry-up life, that I was not living graciously. I was like the plate spinner at the circus that tried to keep all the plates spinning at the same time, just running around crazy. Recognizing that something needs to change and actually doing it can be a true challenge, can't it? I decided to change in my daily prayer practice. I needed to change something. Instead of listing in my prayer all the day's activities and then asking God's help to accomplish all of them, I took a different approach. I began my prayer with a gratitude that God was an ever-present, all power of good, and then I sat and listened more. This change wasn't just a day or a week. It became my regular daily prayer. And life became less frantic, and it became more joyful. There have been researches done, and researchers have done a focus on the benefits of being grateful. And one study cited in a Harvard Health newsletter found out that gratitude helps people connect to something larger than themselves as individuals. Another effect was they had way fewer visits to the physicians. You know, there is so much in our lives as Americans that we can take for granted. We think about all the freedoms that we have, the conveniences that we take for granted. When we get up in the morning, we can step into the shower and enjoy the hot water. Then we can get dressed and go out and get into our car and drive anywhere we want to go. When we get low on gas, we pull into the gas station and fill it up again. Then when we go home, we enter the house, we flip on a switch, and the lights come on. We open our refrigerator and we'll get different kinds of food to eat. We have the convenience of the microwave oven to heat things up. And like most Americans, we tend to just take all of these things for granted. But that isn't the way things have been recently as we watch the news, is it? Especially in the larger cities. Riots have erupted. Statues and memorials are torn down. Stores and businesses are looted and burned. Houses are destroyed. People are terrorized. Whether this is accidental or deliberate, people have been injured and lives have been lost. And the country that we and millions of others love and have pledged our allegiance to is constantly being condemned as an evil, racist society. One father thought he was going to show, he came from a wealthy family, and he was going to take his son on a trip to the country with the purpose of showing his son how poor people live. They spent a couple of days and nights on the farm, and that would, of what was considered a very poor family, he figured that would work. On their return, the father asked the son, "How was the trip?" "It was great, Dad. Did you see how poor people live?" the father asked. "Oh, yes, I did," said the son. "So tell me, what did you learn from the trip?" asked the father. The son answered, Well, I saw that we have one dog and they had four. We have a pool that fills half of our backyard, and they have a creek that stretches halfway across their property. We have lanterns in our yard. They have the stars at night. We have a small piece of land to live on, and they have fields that go beyond our sight. We have servants who serve us, but they serve others. We buy food. They grow theirs. We have walls around our property to protect us. They have friends to protect them. The boy's father was speechless. And then his son added, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me just how poor we really are. How much we don't have or appreciate." It makes you wonder what would happen if we gave thanks for everything we have instead of worrying about what we don't have. So that leads me to, long introduction, to lead me to our text this morning. One of our texts this morning is found in Psalms 103. David, as he wrote Psalms 103, he starts out praising God and he says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." That was found in Psalms 103, verse 2. If we forget what God provides for us, if we forget the blessings he's given us, we can end up being very ungrateful, taking what we have all too much for granted. We can become like the woman who walked into a grocery store one day before Thanksgiving and was very upset with the size of the turkeys that were left. She turned to the stock boy and asked snippishly, "Don't these turkeys get any bigger?" To which the stock boy calmly replied, "No, ma'am, they're dead." That woman had more food probably in front of her than most people have in third world countries, and what those people would even ever see in their lifetime. And yet she was angry because what she saw wasn't big enough for what she wanted. If we don't get into the habit of thanking God for what we do have, we'll probably soon become ungrateful because of what we don't have. So, in Psalm 103, he says, get into the habit of being thankful. Do it now. Get into the habit of not forgetting of what God has given you. Get into the habit of being thankful. Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20 tell us, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a lot to be concerned about, no doubt, in our lives. We have those writings I was talking about. You watch in the news. It seems like people have no care for other human beings, and how you hear innocent children, teens, being shot to death over some probably very minute thing. We see our freedoms being questioned at times. We look and we see this virus that's going around that causes us to modify the way we're doing things. But yet, we know that we have confidence that God is in control. We're thankful for the technology we have and the freedoms that we have to meet, the safeguards that we can take. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, it says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There are several churches in North Dakota that were being served by an old-time minister. The people were amazed at his ability to travel from building to building and keep them all going. His ability to pray for no matter what the circumstances were, he could always find something for which to be thankful. And as he made his rounds one cold, gloomy December morning, he was late in getting to the church because of excessive snowdrifts. But when he did get there, as usual, he began the service with a prayer. The members of that congregation were eager to see what the old preacher could come up with to be thankful for on this dismal and frigid morning. The minister started his prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you for all that all days are not like this one today. You think that we can always find something to be thankful for. So as you spend your time considering the blessings which God has showered upon you and your family, what do you thank him for? How has God blessed each and every one of us? We need to take time to count our many blessings as we sing in song number 68. Name them one by one and see what God has done. For most of us, I can imagine that we thank him for our family and our friends, for those that who love us and care about us. We thank him for our homes, for our jobs, in a time when someone is homeless and many are out looking for jobs. And probably many of us thank him for our country and the blessings that he has showered upon our nation over the years. I hope also that you include the church and that we might be faithful and continue to be faithful and true to God throughout our lives. Now let's look at the 103rd Psalm again. Not once in that entire psalm do you hear David give thanks for his family, for his home, for his possessions, or even for God making him a king. David doesn't give thanks for many of the things that most people would mention in our prayers. It made me ponder this when this thought was brought to my thought or life. You think about what we pray for, and then I look at David and what he's saying in Psalm. He praises God for forgiving his sins, for healing all his diseases, and for redeeming his life from the pit, for crowning him with love and compassion and satisfying his desires with good things so that his youth was rewarded. David couldn't lose those things, and the world couldn't take them away from him. And it is true for us too. I can lose my loved ones, my home, my possessions, my abilities, but I cannot lose the things that David wrote about in the 103rd Psalm. Jesus emphasizes exactly the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We find that in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. So I ask you this morning, what are your treasures? Well, the Psalm David says that his greatest treasure is knowing of God's love and knowing of God's compassion for us. He writes, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. We can find that in our text, verses 13 and 14. Now we continue on verses 15 and 16 of Psalms 103. Now David acknowledges that neither he nor any of us are worthy of God's love. So he goes on in verses 15 and 16 to say that our days are like grass. We flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. And its place, remember it no more. We are not all that impressive, are we? We're fragile, and we're easily forgotten. And God knows that. He was the one who formed us from the dust of the earth. But when God formed us from that dust, he formed us in his likeness. You see, the Bible tells us that you and I are a special creation by God. Yes, we are fragile. Yes, we are easily forgotten by this world. But God will never forget us. He loves us so much that in verse 4, he tells us, he redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. As we read through the Bible, we see stories, numerous stories of men and women who spent time in pits. Jeremiah was thrown into a pit where he sank into the muck up to his armpits. Daniel was thrown into the pit, which was known as a lion's den, expecting the people there threw him in, expecting him to be devoured by those lions. Then it was Joseph, whose brothers threw him into a pit with the intention of killing him, but then changed their minds and sold him into slavery instead. Those were literal pits that God rescued people out of. But there were other pits that weren't so literal, but were equally depressing. We know that David spent several years hiding from King Saul. We know that Moses spent 40 years in exile in Egypt. And Ruth spent a number of years in poverty. Each story about these heroes and heroines of faith have told how God has reached down into these pits or holes and found these people that were in them. He pulled them up. He pulled them up out of that pit and placed them on solid ground. And David says that what God did for those people, he'll do for each one of us, for you and me. Jesus says in Mark 8:36, "What shall we profit if we gain the whole world and lose our very own soul?" So we look at, unless our sins are dealt with, we will be cut off from God. And unless our sins are forgiven, we'll never know the blessings of living eternally in heaven. So then David says, going to verses 10 through 12 of our text, yes, God is willing to take care of that too. He forgives all our sin. David goes on to say, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. You think about that, how far east is from the west. And you've heard that, I know that we've mentioned that before. God uses that he loves us as far as the east is from the west. Consider this. If we were out in California, and we continued west, and we could continue west, boat, plane, whatever, we could keep going west, keep going west, we would never start going east. On the other hand, suppose you start in California and go north. You could end up at the North Pole. From that point, as soon as you got directly on the North Pole, at that point, everywhere you went would be considered now south. So now why didn't God say he would remove our sins from us as far as the north is from the south? Well, he could have said that, but he didn't say that. Why? He would be telling us that there would be a point at which he would stop forgiving us, where he would stop wanting to forgive us. So that not being true, he removes our sin, as he says, as far as the east is from the west. He will remember them no more. This is the kind of God that we serve, a God who loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It was 1812. Her name was Charlotte Elliott. She had been an invalid from her youth. Her handicap filled her with resentment and anger. And one day, when a preacher was visiting, she let loose on him about her bitterness at her condition. The preacher listened, but instead of comforting her, he challenged her. He told her that what she needed to do was to give her life totally to God, to come to him just as she was, with all her bitterness and with all her anger. And as you can imagine, she definitely didn't like that. She resented what he told her, and it seemed to her to be an almost callous attitude on his part concerning her condition. But the Holy Spirit used this challenge to get through to her. And she ultimately committed her life to the Lord. Now, if you heard those words, let's see if they sounded familiar to you. But even as a Christian, she had doubts. She had struggles. Her brother had become a successful preacher. But Charlotte felt that her physical condition prevented her from being of any real service at all. Then in 1836, on the 14th anniversary of her conversion, of being baptized, she decided to write a song about her faith in God. One of the verses goes like this, if you listen to some of the key components. Just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, with many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Number 605, Just As I Am, a song that we have sang numerous times. The struggles that she had, the struggles that she went through, she turned into a song. That hymn has become one of the most best-known and most powerful invitation songs ever written. Years later, her brother said, in the course of a long ministry that I have been permitted to see, I have seen fruit of my labors. But my sister, through her hymn that she wrote, has accomplished far more than I think I've ever dreamed of being able to do as a minister. Charlotte's time of testing gave her a testimony. And the mess in her life gave birth to a message that has brought thousands upon thousands to Jesus. We think about our lives and the blessings that we have. Do we count our many blessings? We know that David, when you read in the Psalms, I would encourage you to read the openness, the totally giving of himself to God. Realizing that God is all we need. We know that it is human nature, it seems like, to hang on to things and take pride and value and a little bit of an ego of, look what I have done. But when we look at all of it, we look at what King Solomon, at the end of his life, said. The whole duty of man is to serve God. When we look at it, that is where we're at. We know that what shall we profit if we gain the entire world, but yet lose our very own soul? So may we have that attitude that David had, that our benefits come from God. May we look in a life of turmoil, probably, you know, I can't say that this is worse than any other time in life, because we know that history repeats itself, and we've had some pretty trying times of war and so on, that some of you in the Prussians and so on, that you've gone through. But yet, as we look at the uncertainty of today, may we realize that one thing we can definitely do, that we can look towards God for his blessings, his comforts, and the benefits that he offers each one of us. Today, we know that we start by turning our lives over to God. We know that we hear his word. We believe that the word is his. That we believe that God created, that God sent his son. We look, and as we look, we realize we fall totally short. That we have sinned. So we repent of our sin. We confess that Jesus is the Son of the Father. And that we would then be buried with him in baptism, as it says in the scriptures, to contact the blood, to be washed in newness of life. And then we would continue a new creature, a new man, and that we would be found faithful unto death, that we could obtain that crown of righteousness. We know that we have taken, if we have taken those steps, or if we need the prayers of the congregation, whatever your need is this morning, we offer the song of invitation as we stand and sing number 185.